Cool. Thanks, Heath. You guys got one of these folders? Some of you would. So my message tonight. Oops, sorry. It sounded a bit soft. Hey, there we go. I'll start again. No. So we're towards the end of this Jesus All About Life campaign. And I have to be honest with you. When I first seen it, I was a bit like skeptical. I was a bit like, are you serious? Because like, I've seen some of those posters. Have you seen them around about? And it's like, thank you, Jesus, for chips and seagulls and stuff like that. And I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, why would you do that? Seriously. But I was a bit embarrassed and a bit judgmental about it. But to be honest, my view has changed. I still think that a few of the posters are a bit lame, you know. But the best thing about it is that it's creating conversation. And someone's got the guts to go full on with this and get it right out there. And to get the name of Jesus out there so that people can see it. And I think that's awesome that someone's got the confidence, the boldness to do that and really get it out there. And here I am judging it for a few lame posters. But I'm kind of right behind it now because I think it's awesome. I think Jesus is all about life. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. And I think it's great that people are seeing these things and they're asking us who go to church, hey, what's all this about? What is this? What's this Jesus all about life stuff? And guys have asked me at work what it's all about, and I've been able to tell them, which is great. I had my hair cut yesterday, and I was speaking to the hairdresser, and I'm like, she asked me, oh, so what have you been up to this weekend? I'm like, oh, well, I'm speaking tomorrow night at my church, and I haven't been outside. I'm just preparing my message all day inside, not enjoying the weather. But anyway, and I said, oh, have you seen those Jesus all about life stuff around? And she's like, no. I'm like, oh. Really? They're everywhere. How could you not see them? And she's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, have you seen the ads on TV? And she had seen absolutely nothing, not noticed anything. And she said to me, you know what, on my way home, I'm going to see one, I betcha. And it's funny, some people just don't see them. And I guess us Christians, we notice them pretty quickly because, you know, we're into that whole thing. But yeah, she hadn't noticed it at all, which is a bit funny. I wasn't expecting that. I was like, ready to talk about it. And she's like, no, I got nothing. I'm like, all right. So, how long you been a hairdresser for? Anyway, I did say that church was cool and all that sort of stuff. So that was good. Hey, so here, I'm going to speak about Jesus is all about life. And that's my message tonight. Andy asked me to, I could speak on whatever I wanted to. And I felt really, God wanted me to talk on the life that Jesus has for us. If you came to the church this morning, you got a hardcore message on judgment. You come to church tonight, you're going to get a feel-good message on life. That's the one I've got. When Ron was speaking, I'm like, oh, mine's not quite like that tonight. I'm going a bit easy on everybody. That's good. You're going to get some good stuff and you'll feel good at the end of it.
Good.
Not that I didn't feel good after Ron's message, because there was a good ending to it. It was great. You know, what does the world say about life? What does the world think life is? They may think it's career. They might think it's all about money. It's all about your family. Life is a box of what? Chocolates. It could be a mystery. You don't know what's going to happen. It's what you make of it. It could be just moments of great excitement, like on the sporting field. I remember bodyboarding one time, and I was out with Colin, I think, and I was like, how does it get any better than this? This is so awesome. The waves are just so good. Is it about saving up for holidays, work life? What, you know, I put it into Google, and the number one thing that they said life was all about was owning and driving a Datsun Sunny. But there he is. That's what life is all about. I think there's more life in my moustache than his Datsun Sunny. Adrian 1, Mitchell 0. He got new mags on it. It looks pretty cool, actually. You know, what does the world say about... You know, the world doesn't think that life is all about Jesus. They don't think Jesus is all about life. I was speaking to my mate at work, and he was telling me about this other campaign, which is Satan, all about fun. I was like, are you serious? And I typed into the internet. I thought I'd go on the website, Jesus All About Life. So I typed in jesusallaboutlife.com, and I don't know if anyone else has done it, but it comes up with another campaign, Jesus All About Lies, and it talks about atheism and all that sort of stuff. So the world isn't too keen on this whole Jesus thing, and I was a bit struck by it, and we've all heard it before, that Satan is all about fun. And if you want to be a Christian, that's pretty boring, but if you want to not be a Christian, then you're going to live a life of fun. And I was thinking, well, what's Satan behind? And what is that really fun? Because I know it isn't. And I was thinking, well, what about sleeping around? Is that really fun? Is it fun to sleep around when you're young and just to sleep with as many people as you want? And I thought, well, we know that sort of ends in STDs and people getting diseases. And if that's your idea of fun, then go for it. You give as many people as diseases as you want. And I think if that's your definition of life, then that's pretty lame and it's pretty disgusting, to be honest, if that's what you think fun is all about. But then you might say, well, what about safe sex? It's all right then. I'll tell you what safe sex is. You get married and you have sex with that partner as much as you want for the rest of your life. And that's what safe sex is about. You think it's safe going around with a whole bunch of other people? It's playing with fire, isn't it? A lot of people say it's not going to happen to me, but they're the people that get the disease, and in the end they're like, well, I didn't think it would happen to me. Is that what you think fun is all about? You know, I was thinking about poverty in this world, and I was on the, not compassion, what's the other big... World Vision, that's it. I wanted to see some statistics on poverty in the world, and this is one of the statistics. The tragic truth is that more than 24,000 children under the age of 5 die every day due to preventable poverty, disease, and hunger. In 2006 alone, AIDS killed an estimated 380,000 children under the age of 15. Is that what fun is all about? That's what Satan's all about. Yeah. Satan all about fun? No, Satan's all about death and destruction. He's all about harming people and not giving people the life that they deserve. That's true. Here's another one on human trafficking. No country is immune from human trafficking. Victims are forced into prostitution or to work in quarries and sweatshops and farms as domestics, as child soldiers, and in many forms of involuntary servitude. Traffickers often target children and young women. They routinely trick victims with promises of employment, educational opportunities, marriage, and a better life. Each year, an estimated 600 to 800 men, 800,000 men and women and children are trafficked across international borders. And the trade is growing. Of the 600 to 800,000 people across international borders each year, 70% are female and 50% are children. The majority of these victims are forced into the commercial sex trade. That's what Satan's all behind. He's not about a fun life at all. You might think he's about something fun, but that's not fun at all if you ask me. That's pretty disgusting. And he's about making your life as short as possible, or making your life as miserably long as possible. He hates you and he doesn't want you to have fun at all. Yeah. The Bible says that he's the father of all lies, and he just feeds that lie of fun into people so they don't care about what really is happening in this world. Yeah. Jesus, he's behind organizations such as Compassion and World Vision. Yeah. Organizations that are actually making a difference. He's behind the church, who's out there reaching people, trying to make life better for people. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus that is all about life. Yeah. What do I say life is? Life is living the way God intended us to live. In Acts 3:15, it describes Jesus as the author of life. He's the one that came up with this whole idea in the beginning. He wrote it out.
He thought, all right, let's do something. And he created what real life is. For me, at the moment, this is my life. I go to work 5 days a week. I actually did some calculations. So in a year, I would sit in my same chair in my office desk 240 days a year, which equals about 1,680 hours in a chair a year. That's what I do. And I was like, you don't have to be a Christian to like kind of think life is just not about sitting in a chair. But like, yeah, my life at the moment is going to work 5 days a week. My life is first year of marriage and getting used to this whole routine. My life is church life and trying to mix everything together. My life is on a Thursday afternoon rocking up to a small hall in Bulambi. And that's right. And reaching out to young children that may not have hope or a great future ahead of them, but we're there to change that destiny for them. And that's my life at the moment. You know, a lot of that might not sound fantastic, like I sit in a chair for 1,680 hours a year at work, but life is what God intends it to be. And at the moment, that's what God has intended for my life. And I know that I'm living life to the full, because that's what Jesus has got for me right now. Jesus is all about life. Satan is not all about fun, and Jesus is not all about lies. There's a couple of things I want to talk about tonight, and the fact that is Jesus is all about our life, us as Christians, and that Jesus is all about their life, and that is the people that don't know him yet. So John 10:10 is like where we get this whole Jesus all about life phrase from. And it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's Jesus speaking. Jesus is saying, I came here for you guys. I wouldn't be here on planet Earth if it wasn't for you. Jesus came to give you life. He came to give me life. He came to give people life. And that's the whole reason he came to planet Earth. And that's why he did it. You know, the Old Testament is just a whole time period of where people couldn't connect with God. There was only a few people in that whole time period that really had this close connection with God, like David and a few others. And I love what Jesus said on the cross just before he died, and he said, it is finished. And I remember speaking about this a while ago, but I felt God say to me that when Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying, no longer do I have to judge people. No longer do I have to see people go to hell because they don't know me, because they don't have a relationship with me, or because they're trying to live a life that honors me, but they just can't quite get there. They're trying to obey this law, but they just can't do it because they're not good enough. And I love that Jesus said, it is finished, because finally it's over. They can just be saved by grace and not by the life that trying to work up to being good enough to be saved. And I love that Jesus said, it is finished. I can start giving out grace instead of that. And that's why Jesus came to give us life. He came for you guys. He came for me. He came for all of us so that we could have life. He came, like when it said, it is finished, that's the moment the curtain was torn. And the whole idea of God being in a temple and nowhere else, that was torn into two and represented him coming out to be with us and live within us. And that's the whole idea. Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. When I think about Jesus is all about our life, so us as Christians, I had a couple of thoughts that God gave me about how do we live this life to the full. And just a couple of thoughts, I think, that if we're going to live life to the full, we need to have great relationships with the people in our lives. You know, you can't avoid or escape people. They're everywhere. Look at you all. No. I tried to escape my family in Tari, and I came here and I found you guys. They're everywhere. I've got a great family. There's all different types of people. There's funny people. There's smart people. There's big people, small people. They're everywhere, and you can't escape them. And I believe that if you want to live the life that God has intended you to live, you need to have great relationships with those people that are in your life. is this awesome scripture in James, and I want to read it from the Message. It's 3 verse 18. It says, "Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced." Listen to this. "You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor." You know, we are a part of people's lives and they're a part of our lives. And if you want to live life to the full, then you're going to need people in your life to help you do that. I love the scripture in Proverbs, and we quoted a bit in my cell group. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need people to live life to the full. We need people to encourage us. We need people to challenge us. We need people to mentor us. We just need people around us so that we can just talk to them or whatever, so that we can live life to the full and live the life that God intended for us to live. And if we're going to do that, we need to have those great relationships with people in our lives. You can't escape him. They're everywhere. It's funny that Jesus always had people around him, or most of the time. He knew it himself. He needs people around him to live the life that God called him to live. And he had the 12 disciples. He had his family, among other people as well. You know, if you have life without great relationships, like work, for example, you're not going to enjoy going to work. It's going to be a bore. You're going to hate going to work. You're not going to enjoy it. The people there are going to get on your nerves. Same with family. You're not going to enjoy your family life if you don't have a great relationship with them. Yeah. You're going to come home and just want to go into your room and not spend time with them, not eat at the dinner table with them, not do anything with them. You just want to do stuff on your own because you don't like them. It's same with school. You're not going to enjoy your school life if you don't have great relationships with people there. Sure, we've all gone through a bit of bullying and stuff, but you need to have some really solid friendships there. And if you want to live life to the full, then you need those great relationships. You can't do it without people that are close to you. Same at uni. You're not going to enjoy uni if you got no friends there, if you're not a nice person. Marriages are going to be long and painful. If you don't love the partner you married, it's pretty obvious. You need to have great relationships with the people that are in your life if you're going to live the awesome life that God's got for you. Church. You're not going to enjoy church if you don't like the people you go to church with that God's put in your life. If you're going to live life to the full in church, you need to have great relationships with those people in your church. God's intention is great relationships. You know, we are the ones as Christians that should be modeling that and showing that and bringing the life into those relationships. The Bible says that we're the light of the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You know, in our relationships, we kind of should be stinging people a little because that's what salt does. It stings you. But it also is good for wounds and it heals wounds. Yeah. So it might hurt at first as Christians when we come and begin a new relationship with somebody. It might hurt at first, but in the end, it's doing them some good because we're bringing, obviously, life and Jesus into that relationship, and it's doing them some good. You know, we actually belong to each other. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:24. It calls us a body, that we are a body and we all belong to each other. I just want to read it, 24 to 26. "But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." We are the body, and we all are here together, living life together, and we need to get along, because if a body is going to be effective in what it needs to do, everything needs to be working together really well. I remember back in, I think it was year 5, I had my appendix out. Has anyone had their appendix out? Painful experience. And it just, it wiped me out. I couldn't do anything. I remember that particular year. I had my appendix out on Christmas Day, by the way, which is cool. I got a new pair of shorts for Christmas. I remember this. I couldn't even wear them. It hurt so much to put these shorts on because I had appendicitis and I just couldn't do anything. I was wiped out. I remember going to hospital, just waiting there for like 3 hours in the waiting room, and eventually they worked out what it was and I got operated on. I was looking up in the dictionary, what did Andy call it last week? That defining thingy, book that gives you meanings, something like that. Anyway, appendix. It's a narrow, blind tube protruding from the cecum. I don't know how to pronounce that. Cecum, thank you. Having no known useful function. That's great, isn't it? In human beings, it's 8 to 10 centimetres long and situated in the lower right part of the abdomen. That's great. I've got this little thing. I had this little thing in me it has no purpose in me whatsoever. And then I get sick from it because it catches all this junk in my body. And then it wipes me out for a few weeks. That's great. I don't know why God created that part of the body. Maybe it was to use in illustrations like this. But it had no purpose and it wiped me out. And I don't want to be a person in a group of people in the relationships that I have that is just a sick, infected organ. Is it an organ? I don't know. No, it's not. Something. It's just hanging off the side of an organ. That's what it is. I don't want to be that sort of person that just infects people and wipes out a whole group of people so that they can't do anything productive, so that they can't live life to the full. And I don't want to have people in my life who are like the appendix and wipe me out so that I can't live life to the full. I believe God wants us to have strong and healthy marriages that will last a lifetime. I love seeing couples that have been married 50 years plus or around that time. I think that is so cool. I love seeing Gran and Bapa who have gone past their 50th wedding anniversary, and you look at them and you know they're loving life and they're loving their marriage and everything. And I think that is just so awesome. And I'm really encouraged by that. I think God wants us to have great friendships and close and loving families. That's what he wants us to have. And if we're going to live life to the full, live the life that God intended us to live, then we need to have great relationships. We can't do it if we don't have great relationships with people. Now, if you don't have a great relationship with someone, then what are you going to do about it? Because the truth is, it's affecting your life and it's affecting their life. And you might not be living life to the full if there's something wrong. Jesus is pretty clear in Matthew 5 that you need to deal with stuff immediately and straight away and get this stuff out of the way so that you can get on with life. I love that. He says immediately, get to it right now. You don't have time to mess around with this sort of stuff because I've got an awesome life for you and I want you to live it. But if you're going to be caught up in all this junk, this gossip and backstabbing and whatever it is, then you're not going to be living life to the full. Yeah. When was the last time you said sorry for the benefit of a relationship you have? For me, it was Saturday morning, I think, to Liz. I said sorry and actually beat her to it. She was going to say it too. That's okay. When was the last time you said sorry for the benefit of a relationship that you have? When was the last time you had the guts to say, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong. Let's make things right. I think if we're going to live life to the full, we need to have great relationships. Something else I believe that God wants us to have and Jesus is all about, and we may not talk about this much, but it's our health. I think God wants us to be healthy Christians, healthy people, because it's pretty clear that we're not going to do everything that God's called us to do. We're not going to live this amazing, abundant life that Jesus has got for us if we aren't healthy. The Pharisees were questioning Jesus' disciples one time, and Jesus overheard them talking, and they were saying, why is Jesus spending all this time with sinners? Why does he do that? And Jesus overheard them saying this, and he actually went up to him and said this: it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. And the truth is, we're all sinners, and I think we're all sick at some point in our life, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual. And we need Jesus to heal us, and he's here for everybody, to give everybody a healthy life so they can do everything that God's called them to do. The New Testament is filled with stories of Jesus just healing people. That's what he spent heaps of time just healing people. Because I think he wanted people to live life to the full. That's I've come that you might have life, and you're sick, so I'm going to heal you. And anyone that wants to be healed, just come to me and I'll do it for you. You just have to touch my cloak. If we're going to live life to the full, the way which Jesus intended us, then we need to be healthy. I remember my trip to China a couple of years ago or a few years ago with the church, and that was great. It was so much fun. And I'm looking forward to like the guys going this time because they're going to have the best time ever. But I get migraines a lot, and like maybe once a month or something, and pretty painful. And I get sunburn a fair bit. I actually had to put a bit on tonight because I knew the lights would be straight on me. So I've just got one or two layers on. But I do get sunburn a lot. And going to China in summer, it was really, really hot, and the sun was out blaring. But you know, that whole time in China, I didn't get one migraine, and I didn't get sunburn at all. Now, I consider that a miracle, because even on a really hot day in Australia, I'll put sun cream on and still get sunburn. But in China, it was so hot, and it was so sunny. It was more hot than I've experienced like majority of the time in Australia. And I didn't get sunburnt once, or I didn't get a migraine. And I normally get them on busy days and when it's really windy or really, really hot. I didn't get one at all. And I just said, God, thank you so much. I knew that was all you, because you had a job for me here in China. And if I was going to do that effectively, then I needed to be healthy. And Jesus actually made sure I was. I thought that was really cool. Something funny back in Taree, there was a pastor named Wayne Gibson. And he was working on his motorcycle once, and he got the top of his finger cut off in the chain. Somehow it started, I don't know what was happening, but he cut the top of his finger off. And the whole church was like, I don't know if it was the whole church or just him, but they were praying for his finger, and the darn thing grew back. And he's got his finger back, and Jesus wants to heal people. He wants you to live life to the full, and if that means you need to have five full-length fingers on that hand, then so be it, and he'll do that for you. I believe that not only does he want us to be physically healthier and able to do the work that he has for us, but both mentally and spiritually as well. You've often seen the people that have a disability, might be paralyzed or paraplegic or whatever, and they're sometimes the most lively people you ever meet. So I don't think if you physically got something wrong with yourself that you can't live life to the full. But I think if you've got something mentally wrong with you, then you're not going to live life to the full. If you're someone that has a low self-esteem, if you are someone that doesn't have a good view of yourself, if you're always thinking I'm not good enough, comparing yourself to others, then I think you need some healing, some mental sort of healing from Jesus. And he wants to do that so that you can live life to the full. You're not going to live life to the full if you think you're a bad person. I love in Romans 8 where it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we're all sinners and we all do things wrong. But no longer do we have to face the judgment of God in that way, because he's saying, hey, you're under my grace now. Don't focus on that. Don't get caught up in that. It's a new day. I love it in Psalms, I think. God says, my mercies are new every day. I love that. God's an everyday God. He's like, bang, you might have done something wrong, but it's time to move on. Don't focus on that. You're not going to live life to the full. You're not going to live to everything in everything that I've got for you. So I just want to say, if you don't think good thoughts about yourself, you don't have a good perspective of yourself, if you're not happy with who you are, then you need some healing from Jesus so that you know who you are. There's some great verses in the Bible that talk about who you are in Christ, like in Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, you are the workmanship of Christ. You know, you're no accident. You are some awesome person, and God wants to use you to do some great things. But if you're going to have these thoughts, these bad thoughts, these unhealthy thoughts, then you're not actually going to live to everything that God has for you. And I believe that Jesus wants to heal that in your life. He wants to get rid of those thoughts so that you can be healthy and achieve everything that God wants for you. So Jesus is all about our life. There's so much stuff about our life. He's about our purpose and our career and everything. But that were the two kind of things that God put in my heart. So now I'm coming to Jesus is all about their life. In the same passage of Scripture where Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you read down further in verse 16, Jesus says this, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. Jesus is about the lost. He's about the life of those who don't even know him yet. Don't even know that he has a great plan and purpose for their lives. He's about them. And I believe, and the Bible is clear, that it is our responsibility to bring those people along to Jesus, to lead them to him and let him do the saving in their life. About a month ago, I think, or a couple of months ago, as I was journaling, I came across something I've never really noticed before. It's about the life of Peter. I got like a couple of chunks of scripture I want to read, but this is pretty cool. First one's from Luke 5, 1 to 11. This is the beginning and the end, sort of Jesus' life on earth, and when he meets Peter, and when he kind of leaves Peter, I guess, in an earthly sense. So Luke 5, 1 to 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of that place, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who is Peter, and asked him to put out a little further into shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that I think I've told you the wrong scripture. I'm actually reading from Luke, not Mark. Did I say that? Oh, did I? That's good. Good. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Peter's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up from shore, left everything, and followed him. So this is at the beginning of like Jesus meeting Peter and giving the call on Peter's life, or speaking the plan and purpose over Peter's life, saying, from now on, you will fish for people. No longer will you be a fisherman on a boat fishing in the sea, but you're actually going to be a discipler for me. You're going to actually lead people to me. The next scripture is from John 21, 1 to 7. So this is right at the end. This is actually after Jesus has died and he comes back to Peter. This is pretty long as well. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Peter told them. Isn't that funny? And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Pretty similar to when Jesus first met them. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Do you see this is kind of the same as the first part I wrote out? Yeah. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon As soon as Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the nets were not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now this is a bit of a familiar story, the next part. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, Simon is his other name, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he actually asked him three times this same question, and each time Peter said, "Yes, I do." And then right at the end of that, after that, the answer that Jesus gives each time is, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." The thing here is, I noticed, and I was pretty amazed by this, is the first time Jesus was with Peter, he said, "Hey, stop what you're doing. I've got something else for you to do. You're not going to be a fisher of fish. You're going to be a fisher of men and lead people to me." And Peter lived an amazing life during the time of Jesus on earth and went through all the miracles and did the miracles himself. And then when Jesus died on the cross and he was no longer there, Peter went back to his old way of life. He sort of forgot about what God had called him to do. He forgot about the fact that he was a fisher of men. And he said to his other mates, "Hey, do you want to go fishing? Like, we've got nothing else to do now." And they hop in the boat and surprise, surprise, they don't catch a thing. Jesus turns up and says, "Oh, haven't you caught anything?" Knowing that. And the story goes on and he tells them to throw out the nets on the other side and they catch heaps of fish. And then Jesus reminds Peter again, "Hey, do you love me more than these?" I'm not exactly sure what he was referring to when he said the word "these," but I kind of think it's the whole life of fishing. It's like, "Do you love me more than your life of fishing?" And Peter's like, "Yeah, I do." And he's like, "Well, stop that. Feed my sheep. Lead these people to me. I called you a fisher of men when I first met you. Don't go back into your old lifestyle. Keep going with what I've called you to do." And I want to say that Jesus is not just about our life and making our life awesome. He's about the life of other people. And we can't forget that. We can't get tired of what we're doing in church or reaching out to people. We can't just be doing that and lose hope and think, "Oh, it's not working. I'm just going to go back to the way things were." Jesus has called you a fisher of men. He said in the Great Commission, "Go out, make disciples of all the nations." And I just want to encourage you all with that thought as I finish, that don't forget what Jesus has called you to do. Don't forget that Jesus has said, "Hey, I'm going to make your life awesome, but you're going to lead other people to me so I can make their life awesome as well. Because I'm not just about you, I'm about everybody. And I want everyone to know me so that I can bless them and give them life to the full." So don't be like Peter, and when it gets tough and when it feels like Jesus isn't around, when you're spending time with him and it doesn't feel like his presence is there, don't give up and say, "Oh, it's just not working. I'm going to go back to the way things were. I'm going to go back into my boat and start fishing again." Don't do that. Jesus came back and said, "Oi, what are you doing?" Just like it happened the first time, he's like, "I'm calling you a fisher of men. I want you to get out there and feed my sheep. I want you to make disciples. That's what I called you to do. You're not a fisherman, you're a fisher of people." And I just want to say, you guys are a fisher of people. And living life to the full is not just about everything that we can get from Jesus. And something I wrote in my journal the other night was, I'm not a treasure chest, I'm a funnel. I'm not just about storing up all the good that God's given me, but I'm about being a funnel and giving that out to other people. And I want to say that life to the full will go to another level when you begin to make disciples, when you start leading other people into church to meet Jesus so that they can have life to the full. And that's when your life will go to another a whole nother level. And it will be awesome and amazing when you start seeing your friends' lives changed and transformed by the power of Jesus. So don't forget what God's called you to do. And don't forget, don't lose hope when nothing's working out for you. But just keep going and going, because God's going to do it. God's going to save your friends. And they're going to experience life to the full as well. I'm just going to finish by praying. Mighty God, I just thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus, your one and only Son, here to planet Earth so that we could have life and life to the full. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you've come to give us that life of abundance, that life of great relationships with people, a life of health, both physically and mentally, God. You've come to give it all to us, Lord. That's the whole reason you came, Lord, so that we could have this awesome life, Lord. And I thank you so much. Everyone in this room, Lord, is so grateful for that life that you have given us, Lord. But God, we know that it's not just about us living this cool life, Lord, but it's about us living the plan that you have for us, which is about making disciples of the nations, Lord. It's about leading our friends to you, Jesus, so that they can experience life as well, Lord. And so I pray that every one of us, Lord, will leave tonight with that thought that we're not just here for ourselves to get everything from you, but we're here to make disciples of the nations. We're here to lead our friends to you, Lord Jesus. And hey, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know what it's like to live life to the full, and the Holy Spirit's been prompting you tonight, then I just want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to know Jesus. So I'm just going to give you a few seconds. And if that's you, and you know it's you, because he's pushing on your heart, he's wanting you to go, yeah, choose me. I've got the most awesome life for you. Just ask you to raise your hand. Awesome. Well, let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you that you have given me life. Life to the full. A great life. An excellent life. But Lord, that's not enough. I want to be a discipler. I want to lead my friends to Jesus. I want to lead my family to Jesus. I pray that you would use me, God, to be a fisher of people. Amen. Awesome.